In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And I don't know about you, but for me, the excitement is building within my soul as we approach this great season of Holy Week. Of course, concluding with Pascha and a celebration of our Lord's resurrection. This week coming up, the sixth week of the fast, is always an interesting one for me because it's really one of anticipation, of really waiting for the next week, Holy Week. But the church calls us to center ourselves in the here and now, where we're at, and not to think too much ahead or too much behind us. But even so, you can hear in the readings that we're being prepared for what's about to happen to us and what we're going to experience together as the Church of Christ. We heard today our Lord teaching us that He is about to go to Jerusalem in the readings of the Gospel. And of course that will lead us into Holy Week. And as we approach this holiest of seasons, and really we need to make sure, brothers and sisters, that we look ahead to Holy Week and we clear our calendars in as much as it's within our power. To clear our calendars, to be able to be there at the services and to hear the beautiful hymnography, but also the beautiful scripture readings that we have, because we go through that entire time in all the Gospels, all four of the Gospels, and we hear about our Lord's teaching, we hear what our Lord went through for our salvation. It's a beautiful time, the most special time in our church. So make sure you're prepared for that in that respect. But we also have today on this fifth Sunday of Lent, as we do every year on the fifth Sunday of Lent, the commemoration of Saint Mary of Egypt. And that commemoration, together with the Gospel reading, still continues to bring home one of the main points. I talked about it last week. This chief virtue of humility. And so we are again reminded of that. And I know sometimes people probably think, Father, you talked about this last week. You know, why do you need to talk about it again? Well, because I found out you guys aren't humble yet, right? So I have to keep talking about it. Like I say, once everyone in the church is humble and is doing God's will perfectly, we can just skip the sermon, go to the rest of the service and have communion and go enjoy our coffee at coffee hour. But I don't think that's going to happen in my lifetime, so I always have to give the sermon. And we hear again this need for us to be humble. How do we hear this in the life of Saint Mary? Well, what is one of the most proud things? I would argue probably the proudest thing, most pride-filled thing that we do, it's to judge others. I mean, ultimately, what St. Paul tells us in his epistles is that all of us are slaves of Christ. You get the weak translation in English because of our history of slavery in this country. People don't like to talk about slaves, understandably so, but you hear servants. No, it's slaves is what it says in the original Greek, also in the Arabic. So we are slaves of Christ. And Paul teaches us, as a slave would know, and as anyone would know in the Roman Empire when Paul was writing his epistles, a slave has no business judging the other slaves unless the master has appointed that slave, that servant, to be the judge of the other slaves. But as Paul points out, we have not been given that task by our master. That is given to his perfect servant, Jesus Christ, who he raised from the dead and seated at his right hand, as we'll hear about on the Feast of the Ascension. And so the most prideful thing that we can do is to take judgment into our hands and judge other people and their salvation, judge other people and their standing with God. And I bring this up because it's so important for us to think about how we would have thought of Saint Mary of Egypt when she was in her earlier years of her life, when she was a public prostitute. Not because, as so often is the case, with prostitution and the unfortunate tragedies of this world, things like sex trafficking, not because she got into it, you know, as a slave or people were abusing her, but as it says in her life, as she told the elder Zosima, she did it because she enjoyed it. She enjoyed the carnal pleasures of this life. And imagine this woman, she says that even when she was going to Jerusalem, because she had heard about the cross and she wanted to go venerate it, that when she was going to Jerusalem, even then she did not cease from her acts of prostitution. Now think about how we would behave if we saw someone in our midst, or how we would think if we saw someone in our midst behaving in that way. What would we think of them? My guess is if you're like me, we would have a little bit of judgment about this person. And St. Mary's example serves to us as a warning of why we should never judge. Because we don't know the end of the story the way that God does. Who would have seen her being prevented from entering by some invisible force, she said, unable to enter into the church of the Holy Sepulchre, or as it was actually called, the Church of the Resurrection? Who would have predicted when she was living this life as a prostitute that the entire Orthodox world would commemorate her and venerate her every year on the fifth Sunday of Lent? Nobody. Nobody except for God. Because He's the only one who can see our hearts. And therefore we in humility have to remember our place, brothers and sisters, which is servants as slaves. And it's not our responsibility to judge others. It's our responsibility to do the task that God has given us to do. To serve Him by serving others. By being the ones who would be compassionate to someone like Mary of Egypt. Who would be an example of the Christian faith. Which is why she was so inspired in the first place to go check out this cross and to check out this faith, this religion. And we're reminded of that also in today's gospel reading, where we see again that our Lord has turned the things of this world upside down through His cross. And He tells us, do not be like the rulers of this world, and even in our time, maybe even especially in our time, the rulers of this world love to be praised. They love to have power. And they love to use it against their enemies. But Jesus tells His disciples there's another way. Can you imagine James and John as they're about ready? Now we know this in hindsight, of course. But as they're about ready to go with Jesus in this final week of His life that we commemorate in Holy Week, and they're arguing among themselves with the other disciples about who is greater. Who's going to sit on His right hand and His left when He comes in glory? And they make this bold statement, and I'm sure none of us would ever make this statement, right? Lord, we want You to do for us whatever we ask. No, we're not that silly. We're not going to say it, but we think it, don't we? And then we question our faith when God doesn't answer our prayers. Well, as my favorite theologian, Garth Brooks, says, some of God's greatest gifts are unanswered prayers. He's not really my favorite theologian, but I wanted to work that in. Some of God's greatest gifts are unanswered prayers. You know, it's a nice song, but and it's actually true, if we think about it. But so often we, again, in our pride, we think we know what's best for us. And it's not wrong to pray that God would grant us things. I mean, look at what the prayers that we say here for health, abundance of the fruits of the earth, and so forth. But we always know in the back of our minds, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. And as we heard a few weeks ago, if you remember the reading, where Paul says to us that if God doesn't chastise us, and if He doesn't punish us, and if He doesn't give us a little bit of hardship, then He doesn't love us. What it actually says in The original is that you're bastards. You don't have a father. So again, remember, brothers and sisters, be humble. As we enter this holiest of seasons, be humble. Don't be looking around and judging your neighbor at what they're doing or not doing. Focus on what our Lord Jesus Christ did. Keep our eyes on that, because that's the only thing that matters. Because this, not this week, but the one after that, Holy Week, this week, brothers, that week, brothers and sisters, sustains us, I believe, for the rest of the year. It is something that we really should look forward to, something in which we should participate. And when we come out of this season, we hope that we are changed. And that this next year in our life will be one that is better than the previous year. Not in the sense of material wealth and health and so forth, but in our spiritual life, in the way that we follow our Lord Jesus Christ. To Him be all glory, honor, and worship forever and ever. Amen. Pray to the Lord, ye catechumens.
Lord, have mercy.
Thus the faithful pray for the catechumens that the Lord will have mercy on them.
Lord, have mercy.
And He will teach them the word of truth.
Lord,